recognize Senator Forrester to present Amendment Number 367, and you may speak to that as it's being distributed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce Floor Amendment 367. The language in this amendment is about protecting private property rights and the simple belief that in New Hampshire, one's home is their castle, and their property should not be threatened without the dire need driven by unquestionable public good, and certainly not for the profit of another. This amendment adds language to the last sentence in RSA 371:1 and reads as follows. No public utility may petition for permission to take private land or property rights for the construction or operation of an electric generating plant or an electric transmission project not eligible for regional cost allocation for either local or regional transmission tariffs by ISO New England or its successor regional system operator. Senators, not long ago, you took an oath to defend the New Hampshire Constitution, and this morning we're here to defend the Constitution. In 2006, New Hampshire adopted an amendment to the state constitution, now Article 12A, to further refine when eminent domain could be exercised. And it reads, no part of a person's property shall be taken by eminent domain and transferred directly or indirectly to another person if the taking is for the purpose of private development or private use of the property. The legislature voted overwhelmingly to place this proposed amendment on the ballot in November 2006. The vote on the House floor was 277-61. This Senate voted 24-0. The people voted to adopt the amendment by a margin of 85-15%. Also in 2006, Governor Lynch signed into law Senate Bill 287, introduced by Senator O'Dell, which reformed eight New Hampshire statutes governing the use of eminent domain. The legislation explicitly states public use shall not include the public benefits resulting from private economic development and private commercial enterprise, including increased tax revenues and increased employment opportunities. This legislation paralleled the legislature's consideration of CACR 30, the resolution that passed this body on a vote of 24-0 to put 12A before the voters in November 2006. Senate Bill 287 did not address one other statute governing eminent domain, RSA 371-1, the statute governing the use of eminent domain by utilities, which was first written over 100 years ago. It is now time for the legislature to address this oversight and adopt the Bragdon Forrester Barnes Merrill Amendment to House Bill 648. Our amendment makes clear that the public use definition we applied to eight other statutes governing the use of eminent domain also applies to utilities. The Northern Pass is the first project to surface since 2006 to reveal the inadequacy of RSA 371-1 in recognizing the new limits on eminent domain established by 12A. House Bill 648 is an effort to rectify this gap, and this amendment adds clarity to the goal of the House passed version. This is the first test of the true purpose of 12A, and the landowners of New Hampshire cannot afford the cost of failing this first test. While public purposes sometimes require the taking of private property by eminent domain as a last resort, it is completely inappropriate that New Hampshire citizens should live in fear of takings by private projects for private gain. By passing this amendment, we are fully recognizing the constitutional protections of all property owners in New Hampshire, as voters themselves said they should be recognized when they adopted 12A. Property owners should have the right to decide and should not be forced to accept a private project for private gain that will forever negatively impact their lives and property value. We each took an oath to defend the New Hampshire Constitution when we took office. This oath applies to the entire Constitution, including 12A. To allow this first big test of Article 12A to fail would be an abrogation of the oath we took upon entering office. We need to stand up today for all New Hampshire property owners, as the Senate did in 2006, and make clear that the rights of property owners include protection from the use of the state's police power by eminent domain to take private property for another private development or use. I urge you to adopt this amendment and then vote ought to pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Forrester. The question before the Senate is adoption of Floor Amendment 367. Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Merrill to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this floor amendment. Today, I think we find ourselves at the intersection of two very important policy areas. One, the basic right of protection of our properties. And second, our need to move into the future with what I would call, even though it's perhaps an overused word sometimes, a sustainable energy policy here in New Hampshire. One that supports and encourages economic development and the jobs that come with economic development, as well as environmentally responsible practices. Energy policy is a complex and an evolving area of policy and of business considerations. So this is a busy intersection we stand at. It's been a crowded one lately, but we're moving ahead today, and I think that's a good thing, and I think we're moving in the right direction. We all know that we're talking about eminent domain today, but I think we all recognize that this discussion came up in the context of a particular set of properties or a particular part of our state. And this is by way of saying that I wanted to talk a little bit about how I personally, or how the route that I personally took to get to the intersection we stand at today. So again, we're talking about the very important issue of eminent domain, but it came up within the context originally of what does this mean for part of our state that I want to just talk about caring about deeply. As some of you know, I serve on the Land and Community Heritage Investment Program Board. And also have had a long association with that program, serving as interim director at one time, and back when I was in the House in the mid-90s, co-sponsoring legislation that led by several steps, as things seem to go in the legislature, to the establishment of the program. And I know that the particulars of LCHIP are something that get debated, and I don't cite my history with LCHIP because, gee, isn't that impressive that I've done this and I've been in the legislature for a long time, but rather just to say that my involvement with that program, my desire to be involved with that program and to stay involved with it, stems from a deep concern for, a love for that which is special about New Hampshire. I come from the Seacoast area. Of course, I think the beach is great. I think the Seacoast is wonderful. But it comes from an appreciation for all that is wonderful about our state. I've also had a long-standing concern and interest in energy policy. Again, going back to when I served in the House, first on the Science, Technology, and Energy Committee, where I was pushing for the idea of let's go for energy conservation first whenever we can. And I still support that concept. But over the time since I first served on that committee, I've seen great change here in New Hampshire, I think in terms of the interest of people in general in what our energy policy is going to look like. People want to see renewable energy encouraged and established here in the state. People don't want to see our air and our water polluted. Those are basic concepts now. It's kind of apple pie-ish at this point. But again, those are basic concepts. How we get to that policy, energy policy, that meets those goals is a more complicated issue. And that's what we've run up against today, I think. Specifically, today's discussion takes us to the question of where and to what extent, if at all, eminent domain is appropriate within the context of the development of energy policy. And I believe that the amendment you have before us addresses that legislative challenge we face on this intersection today. And I urge your support for that amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Merrill. I recognize Senator Sanborn to speak.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to thank all of our guests who have come down from the North Country and your vigilance and your work to ensure you have property protections. And all of us here on the Senate floor, thank you for being polite and articulate. I also want to thank public service and ask that we all remind each other that they're a company who, in their eyes, are trying to do the right thing. Their employees are our neighbors. They're our friends. And they, too, have been very polite and articulate. And as a result of that, I support them. I also want to really do a shout-out for Senator Forrester, who has been steadfast in her support of everyone and the concept of providing personal property protections. As many of you know, I am a senator who has been on the backside of eminent domain, not once, but twice. Kicked out of my house when I was 7 years old, and then recently in the city of Concord, where this city took property that I owned. Obviously, it's a very important issue to me. I am concerned that this amendment will not go far enough in protecting your property rights, and am very concerned that we'll be back here again soon addressing the same issue. However, that being said, I recognize there are certain days where we can't get a touchdown, but have to just move the ball further down the road, as my good friend Senator Bradley said, and Senator Bragdon said to me the other day. So I will be supporting this amendment and ask all of you to keep a very strong eye on the future of your protection, because I truly believe this is one of the most fundamental rights we have, is the right to have and own our property and defend it. Thank you, Mr. Senator Bragdon.
Thank you, Senator Sanborn. Senator Hood with a question for
Senator Merrill.
Senator Merrill, will you yield to a question?
Thank you, Senator Merrill. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Merrill. I wanted to go back because you talked about the intricacies of policy considerations for this. And I understand that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, has issued an order, Order 1000, that while in its infancy contemplates public policy considerations such as the renewable energy portfolio standards into projects using cost allocation. Is it your understanding that the amendment offered today would preclude such considerations along the lines of for Order 1000?
I've, of course, only seen the language regarding that document from FERC recently, as is the case for all of us, I think, since it came out just this summer. My understanding is that at least one of the goals of that document is to take into consideration in the regional planning process for energy development the issues that have been identified in the states as public policy issues of concern, for example, encouragement of renewable energy. So I think that that's an area that we will see the regional planning group, ISO New England, working on. They've just started to, is my understanding, and I think it will address the issue of the possibility of including other factors other than system reliability, which has been the one that has been in the forefront before, but other policy considerations as they go forward. So I wouldn't see the language as necessarily precluding the future consideration of other important factors.
Thank you, Senator Merrill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Forsyth to speak.
Mr. President, I am going to support this amendment, but I do want to make a couple of comments about this process in general. First is, a vote for this amendment does not necessarily mean opposition to Northern Pass. There are plenty of folks who feel that it could be a good project, it could be good for New Hampshire. This is simply a bill that's looking at the eminent domain statutes and clarifying them in this context, and I think it's an important clarification. The other point I want to make is there's a lot of differing opinions on whether it's Senator Roush, whether to completely vote against these, or Senator Bradley, Senator Carson offering up a different amendment. But I firmly believe that all 24 senators, just like in 2006 here, support Article 12A and not taking private property, not taking property for private uses. It's just we differ in their opinion on how to go about that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Forsyth. Recognize Senator Larson, then Senator Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise to
support this amendment as well. I think people questioned back when we first voted on 648, which was maybe last June, why we were studying this further. And I think the reason we sent this into study, and I think it benefited from that study, was that we were seeking an appropriate balance between what is a constitutional protection of private property, particularly for taken for private gain. But the balance also had to be made with the need in this state to allow for the common interest of having transmission lines go through areas in an appropriate way so that all benefit from both the ability to receive energy in an affordable manner. We worked through the summer and into the fall, and as recent as last night, amendments were appearing at our table with ways to find that appropriate balance. While it may not be perfect, I think this moves us into an arena where we can not only protect private property rights, but allow for the further development, if it's approved, of energy alternatives and the continued support for renewable energy projects that may come up in our future. And that's what we were looking for as we pushed this into a study a good 6 months ago. So I think we have arrived at least at a place where we've reached that balance, and one which I'm sure in conference committee we'll have further discussions on. So I rise to support the amendment. Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Larson, recognize Senator Bradley.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think it's important to read Article 12A. I don't believe anybody's done that to date. No part of a person's property shall be taken by eminent domain and transferred directly or indirectly to another person if the taking is for the purpose of private development or other private use of the property. A lot of you in this room worked to create that constitutional amendment. 86% of the voters voted for it for pretty obvious reasons. I have always felt, in looking at the Northern Pass application, that there's really no question that it was a private development, therefore not eligible for use of eminent domain. And when we last debated House Bill 648 on this floor in May, I think those of us who urged study said that we would be back and try to strengthen our eminent domain protections for people that were adversely impacted, not only by that Northern Pass project, but by potentially other projects. And I think the testament to Senator Carson and my amendment that people, as they took a couple of deep breaths and looked at what was actually in the amendment, thought, yeah, these are protections that protect property owners. Fast forward 6 months, we've had a debate about how to make sure that 12A, the clear intention of 12A, is replicated in 371.1, the section of law that we're debating today. Senator Forrester has done a really good job, I think, of trying to outline what the issues are. Her approach is a little bit different than the approach that Senator DeBloy and I took. I think we assume that the simplest approach is the best approach. Put Article 12A, the clear language of it, into the statute, and then say no private development entity, that's what we're talking about here, can petition the Public Utilities Commission for use of eminent domain. So we're trying to get to the same place. I think that the Forrester Amendment is going to pass, and I congratulate Senator Forrester for her tenaciousness in making that happen. But this was the intent that Senator DeBloy and I had of how to solve this problem in the simplest way and in the most New Hampshire way, because it's a New Hampshire constitutional amendment that would be adjudicated in our amendment by the Public Utilities Commission. The one concern that I have with the Forrester-Bragdon amendment is use of terms like regional cost allocation and regional transmission tariffs approved by ISO. Are we not potentially ceding to federal and regional regulators state jurisdictional authority? I just raise that as a question. I think we are. And for those of you who are going to support it today, I urge you to be prepared for what you ask for. We may get it, and we may be back here debating how to make sure that the protections, I think that all 24 of us agree should be in law, not just Constitution, are actually in law and not ceded to regional or federal authorities. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bradley, the question before the Senate is adoption of Floor Amendment 367. Is there any further discussion or questions? Seeing none, are you ready for the vote? Roll call has been requested by Senator Larson, seconded by Senator Barnes.
I'm ready.
Question before the Senate, adoption of Floor Amendment 367. The clerk shall call the roll.
Senator Gallis.
Yes.
Senator Forrester.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
No.
Senator Forsyth.
Yes.
Senator Hood.
Yes.
Senator Gruen.
Yes.
Senator Sanborn.
Yes.
Senator O'Dell.
Yes.
Senator White.
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Luther?
No.
Senator Lambert?
Yes.
Senator Carson?
No.
Senator Larson?
Yes.
Senator Booten?
Yes.
Senator Barnes?
Yes.
Senator DuBois?
No.
Senator Rausch?
No.
Senator D'Alessandro?
No.
Senator Merrill?
Yes.
Senator Morse?
No.
Senator Prescott?
Yes.
Senator Stiles?
No.
Senator Bragdon?
Yes.
16 to 8.
Floor amendment passes on a vote of 16 to 8.